What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hey, boys.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live on The Drive and on location for this Thirsty Thursday. Welcome in, come on out, and enjoy yourself as we'll be here till 6 o'clock. We are at Buffalo Wild Wings. Of course, it's Thirsty Thursday, so where else would we be? And we are in Katy, the Park Row location, so make your way on out here. I know we got some, anytime we're on this this side of town, I know we got a couple of our Katy regulars that'll find their way in here.
West side?
That's right. Won't you come in here and join them? Join them and... You'll have a chance to win some nice Texans gear or Texans products. You can go win an autographed football from Jalen Petrie, Stafford's own, and you can win an autographed helmet from C.J. Stroud. All you got to do is make your way in here and put your name in the raffle box, and you'll have a chance to win coming up later in the 4 and 5 o'clock hour. So do that when you get in. If you're on the way, you might want to do it. When you get in, and if you're in here and you have not done so, there is the raffle box right there as we continue. All right, Clint, you said yesterday C.J. Stroud has to bring his A game. You talked about this being a game where you need a big-time performance. We said if we're being honest, C.J. Has to probably perform better than he did in the game against the Chargers. And I wonder from you and the people, and again, this is just a question in which I think there are people who are on both sides of this thing, and I would love to hear your thoughts around 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well, jump in on this thing. CJ Stroud, do you have any concerns about him in terms of handling this moment, handling, you know, all eyes on him, handling all of this coming up in this game on Saturday? Because last year I would have never, ever thought this would even be a question, Clint, based off the poise and everything we saw from him. But, I mean, if you kind of really look at it this year, the closest thing that we have to pressure is the standalone games, the primetime games, the games like that. And the Texans haven't had great performances, and C.J. Stroud hasn't had great performances. If you look at the standalone primetime games, the Bears, the Jets, the Lions, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, Ravens, and then last week against the Chargers, the Texans are 3-4. Stroud is 5 touchdowns to 7 picks, and also this plays a part. He's been sacked 25 times. Now, in all fairness, in the playoffs, he's 2-1. The Texans have scored 29 points a game, 65% completion, 240 per game, 6 touchdowns to 1 interception in his playoff career. But we've seen what's happened. We saw how it started off against the Chargers. It was shaky at times. We've seen it shaky. Do you have any concerns about CJ and how he's going to fare in this moment?
Yeah, absolutely.
You do?
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily in – I don't want to make it about the moment of being in the second round of the playoffs and the pressure that comes with that or the moment that Pat Mahomes is across the field from you and it's that kind of matchup. And I don't worry about, you know, him from that perspective at all, not one bit. You know, I think overall – I've said it throughout the year. I think there have been moments this year – when C.J. Stroud has been a fragile quarterback, a guy that was somewhat lost and doubting himself and doubting a lot of what was going on, I think. I don't know that. I'm just from a 30,000-foot view watching the guy, covering the guy. It strikes me as there's been moments like that. We've heard from the team multiple times, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick and all these guys needing to reiterate how we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for C.J. Stroud. I've been that guy before. I fumbled the ball in my career in the biggest moment. And boy, for the next year, everybody's telling me, oh, Clint, don't worry about it, man. We wouldn't have been there without you, man. You know, it was impossible without you. Like, I know what those kind of comments from the organization mean and what they're really trying to accomplish. And to me, that's been the roller coaster that C.J. Stroud's been on this year. And so I just worry about that roller coaster in a big moment like this, you know, hitting a low. And not worry as in, oh, my gosh, how's C.J. Stroud going to be? The worry of like, hey, man, it's this team is ultimately going to live and die with C.J. Stroud's performance. And I don't think this is a game where the defense can carry you all the way to victory like they ultimately did last week.
And I think I think we're kind of in the same boat, and I'm seeing some people text in, one of my concerns is can the defense play as good as they did on the road? We're talking about kind of C.J., and someone texted in as well, I have concerns about my 23-year-old handling this kind of pressure. I would have that concern in any profession. For me, I want to make it clear, Clint, and I think you're saying the same thing. I don't think C.J. is scared. Like I don't think C.J. is going to just become overwhelmed and be and just absolutely fall apart,
yeah,
and not be himself. To me, it's more of a just maybe is he ready right now for it? Like the best way that I can describe it is, do you remember Kobe? And I don't know if many of you remember, he had that playoff game against the Jazz, and he just said, man, I'm. This is before they start winning, and he said, man, I'm not afraid to take the shots. I'm just going to keep taking them. But he wasn't taking the shots that he probably should have taken. He's just banging up threes, just going up. He was fearless. Kobe wasn't scared. He just wasn't ready for that moment. And to me, that's the concern that I do have. And I'm surprised I'm having that because last year, that's not what we saw or witnessed, and I would have not thought that would have carried over. But there is a deal of C.J., and that's why I use the Kobe example, trying to do too much. Like, there is a feel of the aggressiveness, trying to go down. Like, for instance, hey, man, first down and 15, we're up. I'm going after Dalton Schultz and against the Derwin James matchup. Just trying to do a little too much and not just playing in the moment. That is, to me, the concern. I don't think he's scared. I don't think it's any of that. I do think maybe he's not quite ready for what this moment brings.
Yeah, see, I don't worry about C.J. in that light. I think coming from Ohio State, he's played in a lot of monster matchups. Since he's been here in Houston, he's played in a lot of big-time matchups, obviously in the playoffs twice, and this will be his fourth playoff game to prepare for. I don't worry about the C.J. I worry about is the guy that comes out, and maybe this is your point, trying to do too much. The guy that comes out and instead of just taking what the defense gives him is trying to force the ball down the field and ends up putting you in bad predicaments and end up running 16 plays in 5 drives and that kind of thing. You know, that's the part. And I don't think that's a pressure of the moment or big stage. I think that is just the inability at this point to commit to what he was great at last year and ultimately what wins from the position. So I mean, look, what you're saying, we could be two in the very same of trying to do too much.
Yeah, because it's like Justin Herbert last week. I don't think Herbert was scared. I do think he didn't read the game situation and was putting his team in situation.
He pulled that old Framber Valdez in audible, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Just firing the ball across body and not managing the game. I didn't come away from that thinking Justin Herbert was scared. I came away from, like, Justin didn't manage this game the way that he needed to.
Well, there's a tendency to make things a lot more difficult. For young quarterbacks, a lot more difficult than they need to be. And C.J. has proven this year to fall victim to that a lot. And granted, He hadn't had the most help from a play caller perspective all year long. Injuries have been an absolute monster. The protection has not been good. And so he's had plenty of factors that have led him to this. But the reality of it is CJ is the only, and this isn't an attack on CJ. It's the reality of playing the quarterback position. CJ is the only guy that can make Bobby Slowick right. CJ is the only guy that can minimize the mistakes that this offensive line is going to be highlighted for after this ball game, right? CJ is the only guy that can minimize the risk he takes with the football by throwing it to Granny instead of throwing it back across the field and into coverage. Like, the answer this season and the answer right now for the Texans to play winning football is in the hands of C.J. Stroud any way you slice it. And the reality of it is, I think it's not the inability or the concern of that, boy, he's not good enough to get it done. We all know that's the case. We all know he can get it done. But it's the inconsistencies of managing all of what I just said. Last year, him and Bobby Slowick did an unbelievable job managing the injuries, managing the risks that you put on your offensive line, overcoming injuries at the wide receiver position. Oh, I mean, just overly committing to that boring brand, safe brand of football, and it allows you to win a lot of games. They got to figure out a way to do that for four quarters. We've seen them do it for a half. We saw them do it for a half last week. We've seen them do it for quarters and halves and even three quarters. We've yet to see them put a full game together, and that's what it's going to take this week against the Chiefs.
Yeah, we've given examples. I just think it's a lot of, like, we did this with Josh. Josh Allen would try to do too much. I think Lamar Jackson has gotten in his head in years past of, do I got to throw myself in here? Do I use my legs? Do I, like, it? I don't think they were scared. I just think they needed. Someone texted in. I thought it was good. I don't think he's scared. I think he may lack some experience in some of these moments. And like I said, the primetime games have been weird this year. I think a lot of it has to do with pressure that he's been receiving. 25 sacks in those games is a big one.
Well, look. Here's the deal. I mean, again, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I think when you're in the middle of it, I think players in particular and coaches make it a lot more difficult than it really is. I mean, this boils down to, hey, man, that play that boring brand of football and pick and choose your times to be aggressive. That's what Pat does. That's what Josh Allen has learned to do and then forgot and screwed up, and then he learned to do it again when offensive coordinators got
fired.
Forced
him to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – now, Lamar's a little bit of a different animal because, you know, Lamar had some deficiencies in terms – I don't think it was talent. I think it was just, you know, forcing him to throw the ball to the sideline, taking away the middle of the field. You know, he had to work on that and get better at that right there from time to time and throughout his career. And so that's a little different animal there. I think it's a little different approach. But you're just talking about young quarterbacks in general and kind of how they develop. Yep. All of these guys, they pick and choose, they set defenses up, they minimize risk, and then when it's time, I'm going to stick this dagger in you. And some teams can do it 3-4 times a game. Some teams wait till the fourth quarter to do it. But and CJ has done it, and has done it at an unbelievably high level. It's just, you know, we're a damn season away from it at this point.
Yeah, and listen, speaking of CJ and where, like, he can make some hay in this game and maybe start to feel confident. I've seen some people text in, all right, Ron, this Chiefs defense is really, really good. Where are the spots that the Texans can take advantage? I just want you to keep in mind there are two numbers I want to give you to kind of watch for in this game. The first number is number 27. The second number is number 13. And I'm going to tell you what right now, even though the Texans have some issues with their receiver group, those two gentlemen, number 13, Johnson, number 27, Shamari Connor, they can be had. They can be had. And I'm telling you, if I'm CJ, if I ever see those guys matched up, and especially as one-on-one, if it is Nico, I would, which it better not ever happen, but if it's Nico, I would be all over the place. Those guys are the clear weak links. I mean, those are the weak links in coverage, and every last one of them. I mean, 27's been beat by running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, anybody. Like, he is those two guys CJ can exploit in the passing game. And I'm sure the Texans and Slowick and them, have seen it. Those are the struggle. But 13-27, those are the numbers. If you can get matchups against those two guys, CJ, it's you know, sometimes you talk about a quarterback of like, hey, man, I don't even got to really think. Like, I ain't got to get confused. Hell, if I see John Mechie on 27 in the slot or 13, I can make some hay there. Hutch, any of them.
Yeah.
Those two guys suck in coverage. I just want to make it clear. Mom, am I lying?
Hold on, Show.
Awful. 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 27 shouldn't be on the field if he's a linebacker that can't cover.
Yeah.
Like, so those two numbers.
Go back to my Joe Mixon take. Damn.
Yes. If Joe Mixon, kill him. Will kill him. He's been banged on wheel routes. He's a safety. So those two guys, they came into the season thinking Shamari Connor could be a slot corner. And they quickly had to stop that. All right. It's Brock Bowers did a number on him, and that's a tight end. I'm talking 5 yards of separation. I mean, immediate. So 27-13. Those are two guys that CJ Stroud and Bobby Slowick can really exploit. Coming up in the game if they get those opportunities. All right, as we continue to get you ready here, Turds List coming up at the bottom of the hour.
The Turds are back.
Turds List are back, and there are plenty of candidates, so stay tuned for that as well. And we know about at least two guys we talked about. Joe Mixon, Nico Collins. Who is going to be the third guy? The Texans are going to have somebody else step up, because I'm telling you, Steve Spagnuolo and any defensive coordinator are going to try to take away those two guys. Who is going to be the third guy? We'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
You know, listen, no matter who ends up on 12, I mean, I'm talking about all 11 sets of eyes on defense need to know where he is. He's what we call a game wrecker, and if you let a game wrecker on offense wreck the game, that's not going to be good. So he's a guy that we're certainly very concerned about.
All right, that's defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo of the Kansas City Chiefs referring to Nico Collins, and that's for day, I'm sure. Nico Collins, we've seen it. Nico Collins, this is not the first time. Tyler and Clint, that we've seen Nico Collins be the primary and sometimes feeling like the only threat in games, and he has still gotten loose, just like he did last week, got loose against the Chargers. We saw him last year in that de facto playoff game against the Colts, where he got loose, where there were injuries. We saw him against the Browns get loose. We've seen him get loose to the point where he's a Pro Bowler this year and had a great, great season. But as we know, when you start, you've said this a lot, Clint, when you start to run into really good coaches, especially really good defensive coaches, and you get into the playoffs and teams with experience and better teams that have guys, teams are going to try to take away what you do best, right? Not everybody can be like Belichick. Belichick used to always say, I want to make you left-handed. I want to take away the best thing that you do and try to make you beat me other ways. And to me, it is clear, and we have talked about it, the two things that the Texans have going for them from an offense perspective, they got two Pro Bowlers. Nico Collins is one, who we just heard Steve Spagnuolo talking about as a game wrecker, and it is real. And Joe Mixon is the other. We talked about it yesterday. Those guys have to perform. But, Clint, I don't even know if that will be enough, right? If that will be enough for them to perform, they need at least somebody else to step up to be a threat. They need somebody else to be able to come to the party when they, I think, employ ways of just flat trying to take Nico away or flat trying to take Joe Mixon away. And, by the way, this has been one of the best rushing defenses in football this year, going in it to begin with. So I ask you and the people, who is the third person? Who is the person that you feel most likely and needs to be the guy that steps up? There are candidates out there. Mechie, we'll see if Woods plays. Hutchinson will have a bigger role. Schultz, who is the third guy to you?
Well, I think the third guy should be your $12 million a year tight end Dalton Schultz. That should be, but I've seen all I need to see from Dalton Schultz. He's not creating separation. He's more of a possession tight end. I mean, I watch football every Sunday, Thursday, Monday, and I see tight ends that I don't even know who the hell they are making more plays and impacting the game in bigger ways than Dalton Schultz. And so, it should be Dalton Schultz given what that contract looks like, but I don't have any confidence that it's going to be that guy. I believe it's going to be John Metchie. We've talked a lot about John Metchie today, and I just tell you, there's something about John Metchie that I got a really good feeling about. And that's hard for me to say, because typically when you go to fumbling and dropping the ball and the team continuing to give you opportunities, I typically bow out a little quicker than the team does. I think there's something with John Metchie. We're starting to see him create the separation necessary. There's clearly some chemistry there with C.J. Stroud. And, again, call it what you want. Being the quarterback's best friend when you're a wide receiver or a pass catcher of any kind is never a bad idea. And so I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity given to him from the team. I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity in the moment given to him from C.J. Stroud. And at the end of the day, we've seen Dalton Schultz open several times this year, and C.J. Stroud is looking elsewhere. I just think John Metchie ends up being that guy, Ron. I think it's a fair question to ask in the sense of, do they have enough weapons and who is that weapon? But I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's fair. I'm not worried about it. Whether it's Dalton Schultz or John Metchie, I'm still going to lean back into, Ron, what we said early in the season when all the injuries started hitting these wide receivers. C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick have done their best work when they worry about getting the ball to one guy, and that's number 12. Move him around, put him in the backfield, throw him the screen, leave him outside, throw him the screen, throw him the quick game, throw him the mid-range game, throw him deep. When they got one guy to worry about getting the football to, and then everybody else kind of just plays off of them, those two guys operate better. I'm not saying it should be that way, because you'd like to think that Diggs and Tank and all these other pieces, Dalton and all these other pieces, would make this offense more explosive, but that just never came to fruition. That's not the case with this group. The best Texans football that we've seen, Nico Collins was without a doubt, first and foremost, the priority on this offense. And so, I lean back into that of, we've seen, what have we seen, 30-plus games, 35-plus games of Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud, and their best work was done when number 12 was the only guy that was ever made priority, and everybody else was an afterthought. Everybody else was, if we can't scheme Nico open, then I'll get you a couple touches. So I just feel like there's a good chance that if they're going to win this game and they're going to put their best foot forward product-wise offensively, is that we just need to focus getting Nico the ball and let CJ play otherwise.
Yeah, you definitely need to get him going. I think there's going to be points where they aggressively try to just force that not to be the case.
Sure.
And if you do, it's going to be big risk. And there's going to be matchups where other guys are one-on-one, whatever it is.
Well, now, it wasn't the Chiefs, so I don't want to act like it was against one of the better defenses in the league. But at the end of the day, you and I have had this conversation a million times. Like, how in the world do you go out there and let in the first drive, if not the first play of the game, C.J. Stroud hit Nico Collins over the top on a post? That's the only guy you got to worry about. That's a number one problem.
No, they did.
Like there were times last year when it was like, Nico's all you got, man, and we ain't real sure how real Nico is at this point. And Bobby's taking him out of the backfield and throwing swing screens to him and doing all kind of different things, getting him touches. Now he becomes hard to tackle again, and it's productive. So the question is, will we see that approach from Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud, not just focus on getting Nico the ball, but move him around and have Nico packages where he's hard to nail down where he's going to be. If they're going to tilt their coverage to Nico Collins, if you had Tank and you had Diggs, you can play their tilt. Hey, we're going to put Nico over here to my left. I know you're going to tilt everything over there. We got now these concept strong side are going to work tenfold better, right? You don't have that right now. So now the better approach is to take Nico and move Nico around and make them just get exhausted trying to chase him down and figure out where the hell he's going to be, and they can't tilt their defense to him. That is the way that we've seen Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud and Nico do their best work I got to believe that's a big part of what they're going to do to Saturday.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I think they're going to need more than Nico and Joe, though. As someone texted in, I think Irv Smith is going to play a significant role in the passing game versus the Chiefs. Someone else texted in, the third guy must be Dalton Schultz. Must be. If Metch or X can do it, I'll eat crow on a video with glee. But it's Dalton Schultz's job. And I tend to agree with that, not just because he makes $12 million and not because he's the next most accomplished player outside of Nico Collins in the passing game. But, Clint, if you would look at one spot that the Chiefs have struggled this year, and that is covering tight ends. In six different games this year, tight ends have led in receiving yards. Brock Bowers lit him up twice for 100 yards. Isaiah Likely, even the second tight end in Baltimore, lit him up for 9 for 111 and a touchdown. Kittle, I understand I'm naming some good ones. Kittle lit him up. To be honest with you, the last game they played against the Texans, hell, he had 5 for like 50 and a touch in the game anyway, did Dalton Schultz. So to me, the Chiefs, they have given up stuff from tight ends in this season. Maybe the thing that you can get them in the most. And Dalton Schultz has to be that guy to me. In certain matchups, he should be able to beat some linebackers despite what you have seen this year. He should be able to do some things. But to me, it's got to be Dalton Schultz in this game to be the guy that relieves some stress to where, all right, if you're going to just be all over Nico, well, we got a release here, and we can get some damage here. Yeah. So to me, it would have to be Schultz. All right, coming up, Tyler's turd list. It makes his return, and there were several candidates. I got a feeling listening to things this week. I got an idea of who those candidates are, but Tyler's turd list coming up next as we continue live. Right here on the drive, Thirsty Thursday here, Buffalo Wild Wings at Katy Park Road location. But before we get to the turds list.
It's a Thirsty Thursday playoff edition with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off Park Row in Katy. Here's the drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here, Thirsty Thursday. Make your way in here as we are at the Park Row location here in Katy. You got prizes to win coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. We will hook somebody up with a Jalen Petrie signed football. And in the 5 o'clock hour, C.J. Stroud, a game-size helmet autographed. We will hook somebody up with that. All you got to do is come on in. And put your name in the raffle box. The Bud Light girls are here as well, as they will hook you up with God, Tyler, man, we will hook you up with some items as well.
Oh, was my mic?
Yeah, yeah. As you know, your mic was on.
Hello,
you popped
ladies.
The damn thing open. But no, you can enjoy yourself here. As TVs all over the place, food all over the place, and drinks as well. So come on out and have a good time with us. All right, it makes this faithful return as Tyler's turd list. And listen, there's no shortage of candidates this week on Tyler's turd list. I am patiently waiting. I saw throughout the week that people were giving Tyler suggestions for turds this week. Come on out and do your thing, Tyler. Let's hear it. It's return, Tyler's turds list.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
Which is not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. It has returned, and there was, as Ron mentioned, plenty of Turdish behavior out there amidst the sports world this week. A lot to choose from. We got a full podium, and if you're watching with us on YouTube and or Twitch, you see this golden turd trophy in my hand. Someone's going to get that first place spot. You'll find out in a second. But first, we're starting with the bronze medal. The bronze medal for turds of the week this time. It's happened before. Boys, it's one of our own. It's a member of the Sports Radio 610 team.
Oh, God.
Yep, it's happened.
I have not heard this story. I cannot wait to hear this.
Yeah, it's one of our own, and I'll go ahead and tell you. It is one member of Area 45 by the name of Sean Bajani.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that guy. Sean, I love you, man. I really do. Bajani's one of my favorite people up here at Sports Radio 610, but he really screwed me on Saturday, boys. Saturday, woke up, set the scene here for you. Woke up, pumped, wild card action in Houston. I'm going to NRG to watch these Texans end up beating the ass of the Chargers. Very excited, good feels, good vibes. Make a plan with Bajani to do a little tailgating, you know, before the game. I wasn't going to be working. I was just going to be drinking anyway. Made a little plan with Bajani. I get out there to NRG real early. Probably got out there 3 hours or so before kickoff. But then I proceeded to roam the parking lots around NRG Stadium and that POS Astrodome for the next, I don't know, probably 90-ish minutes.
Okay, when you said POS, I thought you were talking about Sean.
He's a turd right
man,
now.
He really did something.
Yeah, he's a turd, but I wouldn't use the POS on Sean. But no, Bajani, he's got to really work on the skill of giving directions. Because my man had me and the wife roaming around. By the way, I'm carrying a 12-pack of Miller. I'm not the strongest dude. I was sore the next day walking that long with 12 beers.
Tyler,
I could not find the damn tailgate Bajani was at. And you know why? This man kept telling me, right here in the yellow lot, this spot in the yellow lot, you do this in the yellow lot. Boys, Sean Bajani was drinking beer and eating food and tailgating in the orange lot. Now, I know orange is close to yellow. I know they're kind of, you know, right there in the same on the same color wheel. But geez, Sean, I mean, he killed my pregame.
So when did he figure it out? Because I got to believe you just walking in circles trying to find out where this nut is.
Well, I don't know if Tyler mentioned, but he had not did he only have the Miller Lite in tow, but he had wifey in tow as well.
Oh, that's right. Meg was there, yep. So she's just walking too,
and she's probably just telling me out. Like, I'm hungry. Are we almost there? Where are they? I got to get some.
Oh,
food.
And that was pissing you off just as much.
Oh,
as anything.
I was fuming by the
from
end.
All angles. I got to be honest with you. I think you deserve it.
What?
You're owed this. You remember that time? You remember that time you had me sitting outside of that damn parking lot?
Yeah, it was my birthday, and I was wasted.
It was your birthday. You kept telling me you was close,
and I apologized. I was very drunk,
but I said it. I sat out there parking lot for an hour. Yeah, you know what? You know what? The parking lot gods came back to get your ass, ooh. Tyler. That's where it is. Yes. Yeah. It was turdish behavior from Sean. You got to know it. You got to have that.
Yeah.
You got to have that. Because I feel like, did he get up off his ass immediately and say, well, man, maybe where are they? Maybe I'm telling them the wrong spot.
Yeah, look, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't know how clever Bajani is, but that sounds like a move that you do to somebody you really don't want showing up at your tailgate.
No.
And damn sure not 3 hours early.
And then he finally gets there when it's over.
You know,
damn, kickoff in 15, man. Let's go in.
You know how we're walking in. You know how I knew it was genuine is he finally, it's been the 90 minutes, he's calling me. I answer the phone, and as I'm answering the phone, he doesn't realize I picked it up, and I hear him telling someone else, oh, yeah, man, I effed this up real bad. I said, yes, you did, Sean.
No, Sean's got to buy a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to buy a couple of drinks when we roll in there. At least some cotton candy.
Did you get, like, a three-day afterward follow-up? Like, hey, man, I still feel pretty bad about that.
Yeah, just last night, after our show, Johnny was like, dude, I really am sorry. I was like, it's really okay. But you are a turd.
It's genuine. It's
yeah, I would have bought you a bottle of $2 Chuck. All right.
He's a bronze turd.
Yes.
What's the silver? Who's the silver turd?
Yeah, silver time. And you can catch Sean on Area 45 tonight, by the way, 7 to 11 p.m.
Turding it up.
Turding it up, yeah, probably. Him and PC. Silver medal on Turds of the Week this time. If you missed it, there was a wide receiver, excuse me, wide receiver for the Texans who they showed the door to this week. It was a short-lived stint for this receiver. It was Diontae Johnson. And if you missed it, D'Amico, his explanation of the Texans parting ways with Diontae was this.
Yeah, with Diontae, unfortunately, it didn't work out. And you know, we're on to the Chiefs.
Those 4 seconds right there, that is all you need to know as far as why is this guy on the turd list with the silver medal.
Listen, we've heard reporting that, hey, after the game, after the 32-12 ball game in which Joe Mixon is lighting up cigars at the expense of Rex Ryan and everybody's having a good time, that he's going off pissed and mad in the locker room about his role. But I need to get down to the bottom of the specifics. Yeah, I want to find out exactly what happened from pillar to post, from start to finish, what happened on that thing. That, I don't know why that is so interesting.
Got to call Aaron Wilson.
Somebody.
Bajani's got a story, too, you might be interested in. But no,
okay.
Yeah,
please.
Yeah. Maybe you can make up for your Turdish behavior, Sean.
Talk to him over the phone. I won't meet him anywhere. All right, who's the gold medal winner?
That is the silver. Stop switching teams in one NFL season, man. You've been on 3 squads in 1 football season. You probably shouldn't be pouting. Diontae is silver.
He went back to a 4th because he got picked up by the Ravens again.
That's right.
Yesterday. Through waivers. Go ahead.
All right. Gold medal time. Again, once again, if you're on YouTube, you see the golden turd. It is legendary. And look, most of the time here on Tyler's Turds of the Week, every Thursday right around this time, we mainly have fun. Obviously, having some fun at Bajani's expense there. It's mainly to have you laugh and give you some entertainment in that form. But this week's Golden Turd Trophy and its winner is a little bit more serious in my mind, because this dude is just a complete asset. This is a grown-ass man who is in desperate need of an ass-whooping. And I'm talking about the Eagles fan up in Philly that, if you missed it, we talked a lot about it yesterday.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. This Eagles fan was using very inappropriate language, heckling, and giving you-know-what to a female fan of the Packers at this Eagles playoff game. He was saying things no man should say to a woman, let alone someone you don't know, a complete stranger at a sporting event. This Eagles fan needs his ass whooped. He's no longer going to be at Eagles games. But he can take solace in this Golden Turd Trophy and put it up on his mantle.
This dude is... I've watched the video, Tyler, and I've heard it. Yeah, I mean, is there an age in which you don't want... Like, you feel bad about if this guy gets his ass kicked?
Nope.
Is there an age? Is it 70? Is 75? Is there an age where you're like...
No, I don't think there's an age. I think to what degree. Like, I don't want anybody. I don't want anybody curb stomping him or anything. But I would love to see just a one punch, fold him up,
maybe a swirly.
Just a swirly.
To put him in the toilet.
Oh, you gonna stick it? That might drown him, man. Hell, let's.
No, just the head. Just the head.
Well, that's typically how people drown.
Like I was thinking the idea that you had
just the four.
That idea you had to walk him up at the top, but then when you get to the top, kind of push him down the steps.
Well, damn, down the steps.
Yeah, that hurt real good, but he'd probably live. So that's good.
You're trying to get arrested.
I don't want him to die.
I'm going to do everything I can in that moment right there to allow him to talk his way out of what he just did.
You think he'd have a different?
If you don't end up, I mean, if you punch old buddy, there's a good chance you'll get arrested. Even regardless whether you're right, wrong, or indifferent. Now, if you like sternly ask him to come up on level ground to talk to me, and then we walk back down there, and he shuts the hell up the rest of the time, it's going to be blatantly obvious that I checked his old ass, and he understands what the consequences and repercussions could be. And so it's really even better.
There is a part of it that you would love to have him have to come down there and apologize to her.
I actually did that one time in Fayetteville.
What you got coming up at the 4:00? I'd like to hear that story.
I caught old boy walk by and did the old in the crowded bar, walk by and backhand my girl's butt. I saw it. Quinn Grovey had to hold me back from just curb stomping his ass. I said, I tell you what.
Shout out to Quinn.
I said, I tell you what, Quinn. I said, you go over and tell him to come over here and apologize to my, at the time, it was, I mean, ended up almost married old guy. I said, you come over here and tell her to, tell him to apologize to old girl, and he can walk out. About 5 minutes later, old boy walked over and apologized.
What does Quinn look like? Is that a guy that you that can force another person to come to apologize?
No, not temperament or he's a shorter dude. I mean, Quinn can hold his own, ain't no doubt about it. But he's a shorter dude. Looks like more of a
and what talk his one way of your out offensive of linemen.
No, it wasn't nothing like that. He knew him. He knew him. And was partners with him. He went over and said, "Hey, man, you might want to go over and straighten this out."
All right.
There you have it, baby.
What you got coming up at the four?
Well, look, you remember back in the day when or several times when Tyler plays a song and I tell you, man, that right there, if you don't bob your head, then something's wrong with you. I had a partner send me a video, and it's a song, Ron, and I just want to see how many heads get to bobbing. I ain't heard this song in a long time. I ain't gonna lie, it made my day significantly better when I heard this video, right? I got to play it for the people, and I want everybody to let us know, 713-572-4610, where this thing takes you. Number two, Tyler didn't include any of these turds on his turd list, but we got to keep tabs on these clowns that keep wanting to pop off and be this week's Rex Ryan. Let's see who's at it on the Texans from that perspective as well. We'll do all that next right here on Sports Radio 610.